Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Welcome to Spiritual Life Week, a time set apart early in the semester for us to be challenged as if we haven't been challenged already, to be engaged by the Spirit, to take some time for prayerful reflection and retreat. It's a privilege to have Willie Hugo Perez with us and his family. He will be introduced shortly as he begins to lead us through this week from stories from Central American Journey. His title is Living the Gospel Faithfully in a Complex World, Meditations on Faith, Life, and Commitment from a Central American Journey. Pray with me. Transforming God, you come to us in expected and unexpected ways, desiring to be known and yet remaining a mystery. Make your presence known among us, confront us, wrestle with us, change us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This morning's gospel comes to us from John, where Jesus is praying for his disciples. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth.
It's an honor on behalf of Eastern Mennonite Seminary to be able to welcome Willie, an alumnus of EMS, back to your home campus. Pleasure to have you here, Willie. I'd like to share a few words of Willie's life experience as part of introducing him to those of us like myself who may not know Willie as well as some of you do. I only met Willie this week, but have heard some excellent things about Willie and his ministry, and so look forward to having him among us. And he will be speaking out of some of the training and experience I'll share with you now, which I will do using English, but if some of the phrases sound a little strange, it's because I grew up in Cuba and Mexico, and I am going to try to use the actual pronunciations instead of the Americanized pronunciations. One of the stumbling blocks those of us who are bilingual get into is you're supposed to say it one way in one culture, but another culture says it another way. So Willie is actually not Willie, but Willie Hugo Perez. And he is a rector, which is basically president of the Latin American Anabaptist Seminary, or Semilla. He is also professor of education and theology at the Mariano Galvez Evangelical University in Guatemala. Willie is married to Elena Percian de Perez. Together they are pastoring a group of youth in their neighborhood, which is an outreach they initiated. They also attend the Casa Oreb Mennonite Church in Guatemala City and other ministry and offer ministries of preaching and education there. Willie has a 2005 Master of Arts in Religion from Eastern Mennonite Seminary, a licenciatura, a kind of master's degree in education from the Universidad de San Carlos de Guatemala, and a Bachelor of Arts in Sciences and Education from the Universidad de San Carlos. Willie and Elena are parents of two children, Diego Renato Perez, who is 16, and Pablo Perez, who is 14. Willie, it's truly a pleasure to welcome you. If you would come forward, I'd be glad to have a word of prayer, and then we will celebrate your ministry among us. Dear God, we do thank you for the journey from Guatemala to Harrisonburg, Virginia, which has brought Willie and Elena and their family here among us. We ask your rich blessings on Willie as he shares with us his insights shaped by you into how we live faithfully the gospel in our culture and how we learn from Willie's experience in Guatemala and Central America. Pour his spirit upon him as he now breaks forth the word and gospel in our midst. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Blessings.
Good morning, sisters and brothers. It is a wonderful opportunity for me to be here today. I need to say that being in this community is like a gift of God for me, because the EMS, this seminary, has been very important in my life, in my ministry, in my vocation. Therefore, it is very wonderful to share it with you today, this morning. And I want to say thank you for the invitation. Thank you for opening the doors of this seminary, but especially thank you very much for opening the doors of your hearts for me and for my family today. I bring blessings from the Mennonite churches in Guatemala and also from the Latin American Anabaptist Seminary, SEMIA, in which I am working today. They say hi for the people here in this seminary. Well, the topic that I will be sharing today is living and serving in a challenging yet beautiful setting. But before offering some reflections, I want to clarify some things. At first, this is not an academic presentation because I am not an scholar man. And besides that, you have very wonderful academics here. Second, that you need to be very patient with my English, because my English is not very good. In moments like this, I would like to have the gift of tongues in order to talk with people, yeah. But I trust that the Spirit of God can help me to enter in communication with you today. And third, I need to say also that this is not a sermon, because today I especially want to share with you part of the testimony that I live when I move from this seminary to the context in which I am living today, because I live very interesting challenges and complexities from the time that I left this seminary for going to work in Guatemala and Central America. And part of it, this is one I want to share with you this morning. And brothers and sisters, I want to offer this reflection with a profound respect for your life, appreciation for your life and your ministry. And I hope that the reflections that I want to share with you today can help you in some things for strengthening your vocation, your ministry, your work in the mission of God. I have received many blessings in life. I have a family. Through them, I have been blessed with the mystery of love. I have friends. Through them, I have known the power of solidarity, kindness, and companionship. I have life, and I can see, love, feel, breathe, love, and enjoy the creation of God. And in the deepest part of my heart, I celebrate the gift of having found Jesus. For through him, I have experienced the redeeming and restoring grace of God. And besides that, God has also blessed me with the gift of living in a special land. A land full of riches, beauties, and virtues. And at the same time, it is a land that confronts its problems, complexities, and challenges. And it is the land in which I laugh, dream, and celebrate. It is the land in which I often suffer and despair. And that is what I want to share with you today, the blessing, challenge, and commitment of living in a special land, the land in which God has placed me for serving and sharing faithfully the good news of the gospel. And I am very happy to share these meditations with you. I do so with the hope that the reflections that I bring today from the Central American perspective can help you to renew our sense of faith, life, and commitment to the gospel in the midst of the complex and challenging times in which we are living today. In July of 2004, I finished my studies in this seminary and I moved to Guatemala City. It was a very complex time of transition and new challenges. My experience in this place had been a meaningful time of retreat. It was a time to strengthen my communion with God and my family, to learn along with new friends, to affirm my discipleship and vocation, and to expand my vision of the world. I treasure beautiful memories of the time that I spent in this community. I remember the moments of personal prayer, community meditations, chapel services, music, and guata music, and special preachings. I recall the intense times of study and reflection in the classrooms, the passion of the professors as they facilitated teachings, the reflection dialogues and the fellowship of my fellow students. Sometimes I see myself at my work table in the early morning hours trying to understand some little part of the Greek grammar, processing it with my poor English in order to understand it better in Spanish. And how I can forget the systematic theology of Mark's designation and his loyalty to John Howard Yoder, and the missionary passion of Lawrence Yoder, the advices of Nate Yoder, the pastoral heart of Lonnie Yoder. Wow, so many Yoders. Or the spiritual wisdom of Wendy Miller, the sermons of Irving Stutzman, and the kindness of George Brown, Dorothy Jim, Jean Engel, and Don Yoder. And I could recall other wonderful people, because all of them were very important and occupy a special place in my heart. Other times, I see myself seated together with my classmates in one of the classes, timid, fearful of asking questions because my English might betray me. There were times when I wanted to ask a question or make a comment, but when I finally found the courage, suddenly the professor was off on another topic. And frustrated, I say, "Oh, I missed the train." But all of this came to play a significant role in my life. And the most beautiful thing was how I discovered over time that not all North Americans think less of Latinos. That here there are many people of goodwill. That it is possible to build bridges of friendship despite the many walls and borders. And so I learned to live with surprise, openness, sensitivity, and gratitude in the face of all the news that God opened before me. How much one can learn when guided by the Spirit, we move toward mutual encounter. So many memories. What times they were. How many times I have wanted to return to this time and to these places, to walk in these halls, look at the faces of my fellow students, shake hands with the friends we made, go back and listen to the wisdom of the professors, and feel the life that pulses in this community. All that I live, experience, and learn here is recorded in my heart and my life forever. All of it helped me to grow in my Christian faith and my spirituality. All of it contributed to my ministry as a servant of God on the land in that is where I find myself today. And the time came for us to return to our country. Our return approached, and we faced it with excitement and uncertainty. It was wonderful to return home, to my beloved land, to embrace family and friends. But there were also fears and uncertainties. What would we find? What awaited for us? I confess that there were moments in which I wished not to leave this place, not to leave the security to which we had become accustomed. But there was a call and a commitment to attend to. And toward that, the Spirit of God directed and guided us. And we returned to Guatemala in July of 2004. And I began to work immediately at the Latin American Anabaptist Seminary, Semilla. I was called to coordinate the programs of biblical and pastoral formation of the Mennonite churches in Central America. Upon arriving, in addition to my fears and uncertainty, I also carried in my luggage a bit of romanticism and a few dreams, together with goodwill and a desire to work and serve beside my sisters and brothers in Central America. But little by little, my world became complicated. I found that the reality of my country had become more difficult and desperate. Or the problems had become more severe, or my peaceful time in Harrisonburg had distanced me from my reality. In either case, I faced an anguishing panorama. Over the following years, I have been witness to the complexity and depth of human pain, the damage and suffering that violence, corruption, injustice, exclusion, illness, and misery produce. These are evil forces that oppose the kingdom of God and that destroy life, peace, and the dreams of our brethren. I have seen thousands of people, men, women, and children, with their faces marked by the struggles, the poverty, the anguish, and the hopes. I have seen cries come up, calling out for change, for life, for a better future, and a better world. And here, I would like to share with you some few pieces of this reality. And this is the story of Hilmar. We have news that Hilmar died. He lived in San Antonio, La Paz. San Antonio, La Paz is a village located close to the capital. Hilmar had been laid off. For months, he struggled to find work in order to obtain a few cents to feed his family. But work did not come. He was anguished. And he saw his family suffering hunger, scarcity, and poverty. One day, he decided to go to North, to United States. They told him that there were opportunities of work in United States, and that the work paid very well. He didn't want to leave his family, but what else could he do? And so he armed himself with courage, sold a few things, and borrowed a little bit of money for the trip. And one morning, he packed up one pair of pants, a couple of t-shirts, his dreams, and his pain. Swallowing his tears, he said goodbye to his family and left. He went with a couple of friends in search of the American dream. Now, we know that Hilmar and his friends died. They three were kidnapped and killed by a group of drug traffickers when, with others, they passed through Mexico. In a poor shack in San Antonio, La Paz, his family is alone, in misery, tasting only their pain and sadness. Here is another story, the story of Juana. Juana has moved to a small room, a room that is 3 meters by 4. There, she, her children, and her newborn grandson live. She lives in a very poor area of the capital, on the edge of a cliff. Her house was very little, sometimes without electricity and water, but it was her house. Her husband had abandoned her. That was better. In the end, he didn't work and was a very abusive man. This year, the storms and hurricanes punished the country. Homes, possessions, and lives were lost. Juana was also affected. One morning, the storms caused a great mudslide and her home was destroyed. At least, she and her children were not inside at that time. Others didn't share their luck. Today, Juana is filled with anguish. What will she do without her home? How can she support her children? And her adolescent daughter now has a son without a father. In the darkness of the night, Juana does a mental accounting, thinking, how can I pay the rent, the food, the milk, the medicine for the baby? There isn't enough money. She tries to sleep, thinking, at least we are alive. We have to thank God that we are not in the street. She keeps thinking, perhaps tomorrow things will be better, if God so wills it. Perhaps tomorrow, if God so wills it. She keeps thinking, thinking, and crying. These are only pieces of a reality, pieces that reflect the drama that many people live in Guatemala and Central America. People who suffer and struggle to survive in a context marked by a culture of violence, injustice, and intolerance, by gangs and drug traffickers, savage economic systems and materialism, natural disasters, human misery, indifference, political corruption, and even the commercialization of faith. In the midst of this all, at times, reason wants to give in the face of reality and try to convince us that the sin and evil will triumph over good. That is where we must draw on another resource, our faith. Our faith. Faith to trust and to live in the certainty that God continues to be the Lord of life and of history. Faith to live the dream of God and to trust that despite this dark reality, He is creating a new kingdom, one of life, justice, blessing, and peace. But there is another reality. Out of my faith, my heart became more sensitive, and I began to learn to see with new eyes, to pay attention. I have also learned to see and to recognize that in the midst of the inhuman and discouraging reality, another different and hopeful reality is growing. I see how the signs of the kingdom of God grow and make themselves visible in the world. I see how, in the midst of the weeds, there grow also goodness, generosity, solidarity, and compassion. In this reality, I have come to experience, as never before, the power of love. And here are a few pieces of this other reality. And this is the story of Mardoqueo and Lorena. Mardoqueo and Lorena are pastors. They live in Ciudad Peronia, a neighborhood on the edge of Guatemala City. Their congregation is called Beloved Land. At the beginning of their ministry, there was a zone of war, an area of war. The gangs had taken over the neighborhood and those that surrounded it. The neighbors live in a constant fear. The rapes, kidnappings, extortions, and murders happen at all hours of the day. It was impossible to live in Ciudad Peronia. But Mardoqueo and Lorena understood what God wanted for that community. And so they began to search for God more intensely, to pray, to cry out, to empower themselves in the word and the spirit, and to encourage their congregation. And they took upon themselves the tireless work of seeking out the gang members, talking to them, and developing relationships with them. It was not easy. They were often threatened with death. They almost abandoned the project, but step by step, with effort, prayer, and dedication, they started to win the trust of the gang members. What a celebration there was when the first gang members abandoned their arms and their weapons to follow Jesus' path of peace. Then others followed. Today, Ciudad Peronia is different. Many gang members now are followers of Jesus Christ. The community Beloved Land supports a ministry of restoration that includes evangelism, discipleship, counseling, recreation, skill development, help for social reinsertion. They have even formed a cooperative that, in addition to giving work to the ex-gang members, sells basic goods at low cost to the neighbors. There is much left to do, but the gang members have found in Beloved Land a safe place of love that has helped them heal and restore their lives. One day, I heard Mardoqueo say, "Much can be done with a little spark of love." Much can be done with a little spark of love. The spark that lit their hearts started a fire of love that is transforming many lives in Ciudad Peronia. Here is other story, the case of Panabaj in Guatemala. A few years ago, Hurricane Stan destroyed a number of regions in the country. Many people were affected. Among them, the community of Panabaj in Santiago Atitlán, Guatemala. Many people lost their homes, properties, harvest, and animals. Many died. The panorama of pain was indescribable. But people began to mobilize immediately. Among them, there were a number of Mennonite churches and organizations. Many went to help to rebuild homes, recover harvest, comfort the suffering people, help children, train women, and help all work through their pain. Little by little, the community has been restored. Many have managed to recover from the tragedy, overcome their pain, and find the love of Christ. And this has been possible thanks to the capacity for love and the will to serve of with which many responded. They came together to work for good and to bring comfort, relief, and hope in the midst of tragedy. One of them said, if all Christians united in the love of Christ, came together to share the good news and help our neighbors, another reality would start to appear. And this is another testimony, the testimony of Ruth. One day, I heard the testimony of Sister Ruth. She had a childhood that was very difficult and tormented. But one day, in the midst of her solitude and tragedy, she felt visited by Jesus Christ, knew his love, and that changed her life. And she began to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. and she dedicated to him her whole life. Today, she works with very poor, sick, and suffering children. She shares her life with them. Every day, she is with them, drying their tears and healing their wounds, comforting and listening to them, praying with them. One time, she said, If only you could see the faces of these children, you could know the meaning of the gospel. If only you could see the faces of these children, you could know the meaning of the gospel. She is an oasis of love in the desert that surrounds these children. And it is the fact that she stands beside the children that makes a difference in their lives. As with the congregation of Mardoqueo and Lorena, as with the Mennonites of Panabach, as with the story of Ruth, so there are many people of goodwill who are encouraged by the love of God and are making a difference in the lives of our people. Many women, men, youth, and children are resisting evil and sharing the good news of the gospel through their words, lives, and acts. They are the seeds and signs of the kingdom. Through them, the love of God is revealed in our lands, and that gives us hope and faith. Well, this is an approach to the reality in which I have been called to live and serve. A reality with its struggles and pain, but a reality of signs of light and hope as well. In this ministry, God has been faithful and His word has inspired me. One afternoon, I sat alone in my office. It was one of those days in which I felt so overwhelmed by the many complications and challenges. It rained outside. I was filled with sadness and discouragement. Even more, I had been thinking about whether I wanted to continue with my work, or if perhaps it would be better to leave it behind, a search for a more simple life. Seated before my desk, I meditated. With a certain lack of desire, I tried to pray, but in the end, the words were cold and empty. And so I tried opening the Bible, and I began to turn the pages. Finally, I stopped in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and I began to read. It is the passage in which Jesus, so close to death, prays for his disciples. Those words captivated me. I stopped on these verses. Father, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And those words penetrated my heart. I read them again and again. They sounded to me so deep and moving. They connected so intimately with my experience, the experience of one who has tried to follow the path but who finds himself overcome and broken in the face of a hard reality. And so I began to understand. I began to understand that in reality, my citizenship is not of this world. According to my birth, I am a Guatemalan man. But through the grace of God, I am a citizen of His kingdom. But that does not mean that I should leave this world, withdraw or isolate myself. Instead, Christ has invited me to be in this world and to be a testimony of His love. The Central American reality is challenging and overwhelming, but this is the reality in which God has placed me to follow and to serve Him. I also understood that in order to live and serve in difficult context, as in any context, all of my being and doing should be based on the Word. The Word is life and truth. The Word challenges me and invites me to dedicate myself completely to God. The Word sustains us and nurtures us so that we may grow and reach a greater maturity in our relationship with God and our fellow human beings. It teaches us to be worthy servants, true witnesses and faithful messengers of the gospel. It shapes us, encourages us, and guides us so that we may fulfill the mission of God in the land in which He has placed us to serve Him. And I also understood that Jesus sent us to serve in this world, as He has sent to serve among us. And how was Jesus sent? Jesus was sent as the perfect revelation of the love of God. In Christ, God, filled with love, emptied Himself and gave Himself over to serve and give life to humanity. He came to live with us, share with us, cry with us, suffer with us, celebrate with us, and die for us. He came to give life with His life, sacrifice, and resurrection. And if God has loved us in this way, how should those of us who know His love then live? What does Jesus ask of those of us whom He sends out into the world? Only one thing, only that we love as He has loved us. In other words, when we take up our calling to service and mission in the world, we do it because we want to give something of the love that God has given us in Christ. Service cannot open a better path than that which is drawn by the power of love. This has helped me to understand that living and serving among the great challenges of Central America only can be done in the degree to which we fill ourselves with the love of Christ, so that we can later share it with the world. Such love is able to generate life, blessing, and hope in a broken world. Today, I celebrate the opportunity to live and serve in Central America. When I consider my land, many times I see a land that suffers and is so very broken. I see thousands of human beings beaten and damaged by so many problems, conflicts, and hostilities. But I also see such beauty and virtue. And what is most wonderful, I see that the kingdom of God grows in my land. And that place is the world in which God has placed me to live and be His witness. Perhaps I have wanted to escape. Perhaps I have sometimes wished to close my eyes and be indifferent to its reality. But the Spirit of God has shaped, accompanied, and encouraged me along this way. At times, the ministry is hard and we are overcome with discouragement, affliction, and fear. But Christ Himself gave us words of encouragement, gave us His Spirit and His example. Jesus Christ said, "In the world you have affliction. In the world you have affliction. But do not fear, for I have triumphed over the world." And that gives certainty, meaning, and hope to our life and mission. Thank you very much, sisters and brothers. May God bless you.
Bless you, brother, for the words you have brought to us. May we begin to allow the Spirit to move deeply within us and what it means to truly follow Jesus, and to be challenged by the stories that are around us and that are coming from us and to us in the name of Jesus. I invite you to turn to number 135 and sing The Journey. As we think about following, our lives are immersed within a broader story. And invite us, as we begin Spiritual Life Week here, to affirm that faith and that story. I believe there are enough Spanish speakers among us, non-Spanish speakers, that we can read it to each other. So those of you who know Spanish, Michael will lead you to begin with in this particular creed. And those of us who are non-Spanish speakers will listen. And then we'll turn it, and us who are non-Spanish speakers will read it also at the end.
Hermanos y hermanas, credo es hispano. Creemos en Dios Padre Todopoderoso, Creador de los cielos y de la tierra, Creador de los pueblos y las culturas, Creador de los idiomas y de las razas. Creemos en Jesucristo, su Hijo, nuestro Señor, Dios hecho carne en un ser humano para todos los humanos, Dios hecho carne en un momento para todas las edades, Dios hecho carne en una cultura para todas las culturas, Dios hecho carne en amor y gracia para toda la creación. Creemos en el Espíritu Santo, por quien el Dios encarnado en Jesucristo se hace presente en nuestro pueblo y nuestra cultura, por quien el Dios, creador de todo cuanto existe, nos da poder para ser nuevas criaturas, quien con sus infinitos dones nos hace un solo pueblo, el cuerpo de Jesucristo. Creemos en la Iglesia, que es universal porque es señal del reino venidero, que es más fiel mientras más se viste de colores, donde todos los colores pintan un mismo paisaje, donde todos los idiomas cantan una misma alabanza. Creemos en el reino venidero, día de la gran fiesta, cuando todos los colores de la creación se unirán en un arco iris de armonía, cuando todos los pueblos de la tierra se unirán en un banquete de alegría, cuando todas las lenguas del universo se unirán en un coro de alabanza. Y porque creemos, nos comprometemos a creer por los que no creen, a amar por los que no aman, a soñar por los que no sueñan, hasta que lo que esperamos se torne realidad.
And the rest of us. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, creator of all peoples and all cultures, creator of all tongues and races. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, God made flesh in a person for all humanity, God made flesh in an age for all ages, God made flesh in one culture for all cultures. God made flesh in love and grace for all creation. We believe in the Holy Spirit, through whom God incarnate in Jesus Christ makes his presence known in our peoples and our cultures, through whom God, creator of all that exists, gives us power to become new creations, whose infinite gifts make us one people, the body of Christ. We believe in the Church universal because it is a sign of God's reign, whose faithfulness is shown in its many hues, where all the colors paint a single landscape, where all tongues sing a same praise. We believe in the reign of God, the day of the great fiesta, when all the colors of creation will form a harmonious rainbow, when all peoples will join in joyful banquet, when all tongues of the universe will sing the same song. And because we believe, we commit ourselves to believe for those who do not believe, to love for those who do not love, to dream for those who do not dream, until the day when hope becomes a reality. And may those words grace our hearts and minds as we leave this place and go into the day. Go in peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.